The Yeshiva Gedolah of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
The Torah tells us in Parashas Bo, in Shmei Shud Gimel, Vaydaber Hashem al Moshe Lemor. Hashem said to Moshe, saying, Kaddish li kol bechor, peter kol rechem ibnei Yisrael ba'odom v'abehema lihu. You shall sanctify the firstborn, the one that comes through the womb first, amongst all of Israel, amongst the men, Adam uva behema, and amongst animals, and they shall belong to me. And this is in the parsha of the Yetzias Mitzrayim, as it states by immediately afterwards, Vayema Meisha la'om zechor es hayema zeh asher yotzosem mimitzrayim. Meisha told the nation that you should remember this day that you have gone out, that you are going out of Egypt, mibeis avodim, from the house of slavery, because Hashem has taken you out with a strong hand. You shall not eat chometz. Hayom atem yetzi. Today you are going bechedesh oviv, in this month of the springtime. And then the Torah tells us a little further in the next subject. And this is in Pasuk Yud Aleph. V'hoye ki yev'acha Hashem el eres haknani k'asher nishbalecho al aveshecho u'neson aloch. And when Hashem will bring you to the land of the Knanim, that's Eretz Yisrael, like He has sworn to you and your fathers to give to you, v'havarto kol peter rechem l'Hashem, the one that comes through the womb first shall be set aside, v'chol peter shegeh behem asher yelecho azuchorim l'Hashem, and all of the firstborn of the animals, this is of the kosher animals, the males, they shall belong to you. And the firstborn of the donkey, you should redeem with a sheep or a goat. And this should be given to the Kohanim. And if not, then you must kill the donkey. And the firstborn of every man, of every human, thief there you shall redeem. And when your son tomorrow at a later date will ask you, what is all of this about? And you shall say to him that Hashem, with a strong hand, has taken you out of Egypt from the house of slavery. And when Parai was hiksha l'shalcheinu, he became difficult and hardened his heart and did not want to send us out. Hashem killed all of the firstborn of Egypt, from the firstborn of the man to the firstborn of the animal. Al kein ani zeveach l'Hashem kol peter echem azuchorim v'chol bechor bonai efter. Therefore, I sacrifice to Hashem the firstborn of all of the animals, and the firstborn of humans I redeem. So this is the parsha of the mitzvahs of Bechor, of the firstborn. Incidentally, these two parshas, together with two other parshas in the Torah, are placed in the tefillin, which we put on every day. Now we find that Israel were commanded to sanctify the firstborn in many instances. For example, what we just read now. And the same thing, to the contrast, we see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu destroyed the firstborn of Egypt. We see in general great emphasis is placed on the Kiddushas Bechor, the sanctification of the firstborn. For example, in Shmos Dalet, say in Parsha Shmos Dalet, Posukhov Beis, Hashem told Moshe to tell Pare, V'amata el Pare, Kei Omar Hashem. This is what Hashem has said, B'ni Becheri Yisrael, that Yisrael is my firstborn. Send out my nation so they may serve me. And if you will not send out Yisrael, who is my firstborn, then I shall kill your son, your firstborn. And Rashi writes there, Midrasha ikan chosem HaKadosh Baruch Hu al mechiras habechira shelokach Yaakov me'esov. We see HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that Yisrael is my firstborn. Hashem here sealed the transaction that Yaakov had with Esav when he bought the firstborn birthright from him for the porridge. And from that we see that the firstborn birthright was something very, very important. And it went, and the firstborn had the right of the avoda. He served the family as the kohen. Aside from the fact that he had preference to a larger portion, a double portion in Yerusha and inheritance, we find also the bikurei pri hadoma in Parshas Kisovei, perichikovo posubeis. It states v'lakachto mereishis kol pri hadoma, that you shall take from the reishis called pri hadoma, from the first of your fruits, and you shall bring them to the Beis HaMikdash. This is the sanctification of the Bikurim. We find Trumas Hagerim Vayekev Asirosh, that we took a portion from the grains and from the wine, the vineyard, and from the olives, and gave it to the Kohen. It was Kodush, and this was called Reishis. We find by the Challah that when we would make bread, we would take part of it and give it to the Kohen, and it was Kodush. And this was called Reishis. We find further that in the beginning of the Sefer Torah, where it states Bereishis Bara Elikim Es HaShomayim Ves HaOretz, in the beginning Hashem created the heavens and the earth, Rashi brings a drosha. What does it mean, Reishis, in the beginning? Bishvil HaTorah Shenikra Reishis Yisiv Reishis Darkai Mishleches. Torah is called the Reishis, the beginning, and it was because of Torah Hashem created the world. Another drosha Rashi brings, Bishvil Yisrael Shenikra Reishis, that the creation was in honor of Yisrael, who were called Reishis, the beginning. As it states in Yirmiyahu Beis, Kodesh Yisrael Hashem Reishis Tvuosei. Yisrael is sanctified to Hashem because they are the beginning of his Tvuah, the beginning of his grains. So from all of this, we see a great emphasis on the Reishis, and the beginning, and the firstborn, be it in people, in animals, in grains, in fruits, and the mitzvah to be mekadesh, to sanctify the firstborn, and that mitzvah was given exclusively to Israel. What is the significance of all of this? The Maral in the Gvuras Hashem, Perek Lamed Ches and Perek Lamed Ches, he writes on this, Dvorim Amukim, things that are some very deep thoughts on this. And this subject is something which is very deep and encompasses a great deal of wisdom. He says as follows: there is really in reality only one Reishis. There's only one first, and that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And there is not another first in reality in the world. In this that we say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Reishis, he is the first, does not mean that he is merely Reishis HaBriya. He was the first in the creation. It means more than that. It means that he was always the first, and nothing ever preceded him. Nothing preceded him, whether it was tangible, physical, or nothing preceded him, whether it was intangible or non-physical. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself was always first and always existed. Why do we say this? Because if something did precede HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then no longer he's the Reishis. No longer he is the beginning. Because the beginning must be something which there was nothing beforehand. Because if the beginning is something which something preceded, then no longer that's the Reishis. So this means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Reishis Be'etzim, the beginning, the first in reality, and that he had to be Kayim Le'olam, that he had to always exist, and there could never be a time when he didn't exist. Because if there was a time when he didn't exist, then something had existed before him, and then no longer he would be the Reishis. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu came into existence at a certain specific time, then something existed before him and preceded him. So this is what is meant when we say HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Reishis. Now this Yediyah, this fact that we're stating here, is not merely a fact, or it's not merely something which we could classify as a Dvar Chochma. It's a wise principle. It's the greatest principle of the entire world. And the Rambam, when he writes his great Chibur, his great work, the Yad HaZoko, the first halacha that he writes is on this Yediyah. And he calls this Yesod HaYesodos VeAmud HaChochmos, the foundation of all foundations and the pillar of all wisdom, which all truth relies on. There's a great deal of truth, but all truth relies on one pillar. L'yeda sheyesom motzui rishayim. To know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the motzui rishayim. Motzui rishayim means that he is the Reishis, he is the beginning in reality. He is the beginning in reality. And not only was he the beginning of the creation, but he always existed where nothing ever preceded him. Because if anything ever preceded him, or if there was ever a time which he didn't exist, which means that there was some possibility that there should be either a physical or non-physical world without HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then something existed before him, then no longer would he be the Motzui Rishayim, the beginning in reality. Now, the Rambam carries on. And he says, not only is he the beginning in reality, but because of this, hu mamshi kol nimso, he is the beginning of everything that later on was created or later on existed. And therefore everything that is found in existence, if it's the heavens, if it's the earth, if it's anything, had to come from He, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Le'nimtzo elo me'amitos himotzo. Because if HaKadosh Baruch Hu existed when nothing existed, then everything that would come into being later on could only come from Him. It couldn't come from anything else. Because everything has to have its cause. And if He existed, and this is going with the foundation that He is alone is the righteous. So if He existed when nothing existed, then everything else that came into existence could only come from Him. If everything that came into existence could only come from Him, then HaKol Nimtza Me'ito U'Mimeno, then everything is from Him and is sustained by Him. And the Rambam says, therefore, if we could say that He would vanish, then everything in the world would vanish with Him. And if He would say, if we would say that everything in the world would vanish, Hu levado yimotzu, He will still be here. V'lo yevatol Hu liftulam, shekol hanimtzoim tzrichim lei, v'Hu baruch Hu eino tzorich lehem v'lo le'echod mehem. Because every part of existence has to come on to Him. While He has to come on to no part of existence. And this is what the Torah means when it states, Ein Od Milvado. That there is no one else besides Him. What does it mean, there is no one else besides Him? There is no true existence besides Him. Because all existence is merely dependent and reliant on Him. Well, since He was Kodma, since He preceded all existence, He is reliant on nothing else. Kleimar ein shom motzui emes milvadoi kimoso, that there is no other existence in reality which can compare to His existence. Then the Rambam goes further. And he says, besides the fact that this is not merely a good idea or a good thought or a true principle, but this is the yesod shekol ha-yesodus v'hamud shekol ha-chochmas, the pillar of all principles and the pillar of all wisdom and of all truth. Besides that, he says, this is a mitzvah's essay. This is a positive commandment. Yediyas dover zeh mitzvah's essay. To know this and to understand it in accordance to our capability is a positive commandment. Where does it state that this is a commandment? Shenemar anochi Hashem Elokecha. As it states, I am the Lord your God. The Rambam is learning that Anochi Hashem Elokecha, I am the Lord your God, is not merely a statement. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling Klal Yisrael, I am Hashem Elokecha. But he's commanding him. This is one of the Taryag, the 613 mitzvahs. He's commanding him, them, to believe in this. V'chol amala al daitu shi yesho meloha ach chutz mizeh. And whoever will entertain the thought that there is an independent force in the world, independent of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Eva Belesasa, not only does he transgress this mitzvah say, this positive commandment, but he also transgresses a negative commandment, Shenemar, as it states, Lo yelecho elohim acherim al ponoi, that you shall not make for yourself other gods or gods of others in my presence. Bekefer be'ikor, and this is called a kefer be'ikor, someone who denies the very ikor. The ikor is like the trunk of the tree. Shezehu ha'ikor ha'godol shehakol toliboy. This is the ikor ha'godol that everything is dependent on. So what the Rambam is teaching us, the concept of reishis, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was the first. And when it states that he is the first, it is stating firstly that he is the beginning of creation. From him came creation. But then we go a step further. Not only from him came creation, but nothing preceded him. Because if something preceded him, then he no longer is the reishis. And from there we go further. If we say that nothing could have preceded him, this means that he existed forever. Because if there was a time when he didn't exist, then there was something or somewhat that had preceded him. It's very understandable now what the Chazal tell us. Firstly, that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed himself to Klal Yisrael, Anechi Hashem Elokecha, he gave them this wisdom and this mitzvah. The first letter he used to reveal himself with was the Aleph, Anochi. While when he came to create the world, which is related in the beginning of the Sefer Torah, there it is related with the Beis, Bereishis Bara Elokim. Because the Bereishis was not the beginning. Bereishis Bara Elokim, the beginning, Hashem created the heavens and the earth. That was the beginning of the heavens and the earth. But that was not the beginning of all existence, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu preceded all existence. What is the identification of the beginning of all existence? That's HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. That's the Anochi, when he revealed himself to the people. And there, very rightly so, it was told and written with the letter Aleph. The letter Aleph represents the very first letter of the alphabet, that no letter precedes it. But also was very understandable now when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Lo yeh le'elohim acherim al ponoi. You shall not believe in other powers in my presence. What does it mean in my presence? So Rashi says there in Parshas Yisro, just like I am always and I have always been, so there can be no other powers. Because there can be no other powers. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu preceded all other powers in the world, then there can be no independent powers in the world. Because where did they come from? They could have only come from Him. And it's also very understandable now why they refer to as Elohim Acherim, other gods. And this is what we brought in the shiur last week from the Maral, that the belief in atheism or in idolatry was referred to by the Chazal as the powers of the Acher, Acherim, the Ochor, coming from outside, or the Keches Hachitzenies, from Chutz, from outside. These are powers that are not coming from the center of creation, which was HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but rather artificial powers that come from sources which are not in reality. And then also what we understand with this is what the Rambam refers to as someone who does not believe in this is a kofer bi'ikor. And this is what the Baral explained we brought last week, because the ikor is the trunk of the tree. From the trunk the roots branch out into every direction, and that's downwardly, and the branches spread out in every direction upwardly. They all come from this trunk, and they are all sustained by this trunk, and it's impossible for any part of the tree to come from any other place except the trunk. You couldn't find a tree where you have a branch or you have a root and you cannot trace it to the trunk. And so is it with all existence. It's impossible that there can be anything in existence that is not coming from the ikur of existence. And that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, someone who denies this is kofar bi'ikur. He's denying the very heart of all existence. And then from this we understand what our Chazal tell us, that kol ha-kefer, kol ha-beide ba-aveide zora, is ki-ilu kefer b'chol ha-teira kula. Whoever concedes to other independent forces, it's as if he's denying the entire Torah. B'chol ha-mode lezeh, whoever concedes to this principle, and he denies independent forces, is ki'ilu mode l'cholat ha'irakula, then it's as if he accepts the entire Torah. Now there's even a further principle which is part of this principle, and that is, aside from the fact that we said that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Reishis HaBriyah, He was the beginning of all creation, and aside from the fact that we said that in order for Him to become the true Reishis, He had to precede everything, nothing could precede Him, and which would mean that He existed all of the time and there could never be a concept where He didn't exist, because then something was existing before Him, either tangible or non-tangible. And therefore, everything has to come from Him. It's as if there was a world of nothingness and there's one seed. So how can there be that something's in the world that did not come from that seed? And therefore everything is sustained by him and governed by him. Aside from all of this, this brings us to another level of understanding. And that is, that just as HaKadosh Baruch Hu always existed, he always will exist. And the same way he always existed, he always will exist without any change or any beetle or any demise. Exactly the way he was. If we could give time to it, billions of years ago, so will he be billions of years from now. We are mukhrach. We are forced to say this. Why? Because change can be affected only when there is another force external to a certain force which overpowers it, influences it, or destroys it. For example, you have fire. The force of fire will dry up water. Remove the force of fire, the water will not dry up. If you leave water alone, without any contrary force or external force that is trying to change it or trying to have an influence on it, then water will remain the same. Or the opposite. If you have a fire and you penetrate this fire with water or moisture, it'll have an effect on the fire. But remove all external elements and then nothing will affect the fire. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu preceded all existence, and therefore everything that came into existence had to come, HaKol Mimenu, had to come from him, then there cannot be an external force in all of existence that is not part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So therefore there can be no external force that can have an influence to change HaKadosh Baruch Hu, certainly not to cause kaviyochol, if we could say, his demise. And therefore we are forced to say that just as he existed billions of years ago, so will he exist billions of years ago. And just as there was no beginning to him, there can be no end. And this is what is written, Ani Hashem Leishonisi. I am your God, I have never changed. Now, this is what is meant by Bereishis. And this is what the Rambam means when he says, Yisod HaYisodis, the Amud HaChochmas, that the first pillar which holds up all of the pillars, and all wisdom is Le'eda Shiyesham Mitzur Yishayin, that there is a power in the world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that always existed and nothing preceded him. And therefore he's the true Reishis, And therefore everything that came into existence had to come from him. And therefore there can be no force external of him to cause any change in him. And therefore Hakol Mimenu, all existence can only be from him. And therefore everything is sustained by him and governed by him. And this is what is meant, Ein Od Milvado, that there is no existence like his existence. This is what is meant in the Pasuk, Hashem Melech, Hashem Moloch, Hashem Yimloch, Le'olam Vo'ed. That he is the king, he was the king, and he always will be the king, forever and ever. And we have this in the Piyutim, in the poems, the songs. For example, what we say every morning, Adon Olam. These Piyutim, these poems, are not simple poems. They were written by the Mikubalim, the masters of the Nistor. And they write as follows. Adon Olam Hashem Olach B'terem Kol Yitzir Nivro. The ruler of the world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he reigned before all existence came into being. Ba'achrei Kichleis HaKol Levado Yimloch Noro. And after the end of all existence will cease to be, he will still reign. He was, he will be, he is, he was, he is, and he will be in his glory. Without a beginning, there cannot be a beginning to him, because this means that something, there was a time when he didn't exist. And without an end. And these are the concepts that the Rambam and the Maral are explaining. Or, for example, in the Piyu Jigdal Hashem, there's a sentence, Nimtza ve'ein eis el mitzi usoy. He was, and there was no time to his existence. This means we all live in a world of time. And we can all be clocked. We are clocked when we are born. What date were we born on? We are clocked when we are a year old. We are clocked when we are bar mitzvah. We are clocked when we get married. We have anniversaries. We have Yom Tovim. We are locked into a world of time. A world that we cannot free ourselves from as long as we are in this world. Nimtza ve'ein eis el mitzi usoy. The Piyut said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu existed when there is no element of time to his existence. He is not clocked into a world of time. To the contrary, he is the one who created time. And therefore he existed before time existed. If you'll ask, so when was that? That was Ein Eis El Mitzi Usoy. There is no time to his existence because time did not exist yet. This is a tip of the iceberg of what the Rambam means when it states that this is the Yesod HaYesodis, the foundation of all foundations, and the Amud HaChochma. And this is what we are obligated to believe in. Now, the Maral says that since HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he exclusively, is the Reishis, as we explained what the Reishis means, he's the beginning. And he is Kodosh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he is sanctified. Therefore, it's proper that every rishis that comes into the world should also be sanctified, like HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ki min hatov yovei hatov, because from someone that's good comes something that's good. Min hatohor yovei hatohor, from something that's pure comes something that's pure. Min hakodesh yovei hakodesh, from something that is sanctified comes something that is sanctified. And since HaKadosh Baruch Hu has this exclusive banner, and it's exclusive because it's exclusive in all of existence, that he alone is the Reishis, and that gives him this Kiddusha of being the Borei Olam, the king of all existence. Therefore, everything that is a beginning in this world is also Kodesh. And it's Mizdame. It identifies itself with its creator. However, only Israel recognizes this. Only Israel. Why? Because the rest of the Olam, the rest of the world, was kafir in this. They denied the existence of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. They denied that he was the beginning. They went and they went after Aved Zorah. They went after Elohim Acherim. They not only denied it, but they were totally contradictory to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that Kodesh Yisrael Hashem reishis tu osvei. Israel will be sanctified like I am, and they will be my first of the grains in this world. And Israel is Bini Bechori. Israel will be my firstborn. And Abraham was called the Reishis. He in particular. Because he was the Reishis to Israel. He was the first to Israel. He was the first to recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Reishis. And therefore he gave to Klal Yisrael the mitzvah of Kiddush HaBecheiros, to sanctify the firsts, to sanctify the beginnings of man, the beginnings of the animal, the first of the grains, the first of the fruits, the first of the wines, the first of the olives, and to declare to the world and to bring this to the world the Kiddushas HaReishis, that since this all comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he is the creator of this, it carries in it the Kiddusha, the sanctity of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this declares this yisod, this foundation. And it was for this reason that he was Goal, he redeemed Klal Yisrael from Mitzrayim. Because he said, go and tell Paray, Bini Becheri Yisrael, you are holding my son, my firstborn, and I am taking them out of Egypt to bring them to Har Sinai to receive the Torah, where they will declare to the world that I am the beginning of all existence. And they will declare this through my mitzvahs and through the sanctification of the Becheiros of the Reishis. And not only did he tell Mesha to tell Paray, take out, let my firstborn go so they may do this, but if you don't and you stand up against me, ani heireges bincha becheirecha, then I will destroy your firstborn. And this was the Makas HaBecheiros. And why will he destroy your firstborn? Because at the end of in Parshas Shemos, Perikei, Pasuk Beis, when Moshe came to him and told him this, said that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, "Let my people go," he answered, "Mi Hashem Asher Eshma Bekelei." Who is this God that I shall listen to his voice? Lishaleach es Yisrael, to send out Yisrael. Lo yodati es Hashem. I do not know this God. He is not the creator of the world. He is not the Rishus. Begam Yisrael lo ashaleach, and I will not send out his people. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you told Pare, if he will not send out my Rishus, then I will destroy his Rishus, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu did. So this is the insight of the Kiddush HaBecheiros, the sanctification of the firstborns, or of the firsts. And this is why it was Yisrael is the first, and the mitzvah was given to Yisrael, because it brings to the world this great fundamental principle that HaKadosh Baruch Hu preceded everything. He called everything in existence. Nothing can exist that did not come. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when there'll be a time there'll be no existence left, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will still be as he has. There can be no change on him. Now, everything that we're saying this evening, and incidentally, this is why the Kedushas Bechor, this mitzvah, was given together at the time of the Yetzias Mitzrayim. Now, everything that we're saying now is actually the antithesis of what is known as the Darwin's theory of evolution. Darwin's theory of evolution, or similar such theories, is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was not the Motzei Rishon. He was not the first. And not that everything came from him. And not that he created everything exactly the way he wanted it to be. But they hold that there always existed some force, not HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not God, but there always existed some force in the world. They themselves don't even know what that force was, or they can't even give it a name. Some call it energy. And from this force, everything came into existence. And this was not by a deliberate plan or by a deliberate planner. And it did not come into existence all at one time, or even during 7 days of creation, but rather it came into an existence, firstly from the most simplest cell, then during the course of millions or billions of years, it underwent enormous changes, enormous developments, enormous advancements, again without any deliberate plan, but only through the forces of chance, until it evolved dimension after dimension, stage after stage, advancement after advancement, into the world that we have today. And this includes Hashemayim im kol svar Hashemayim. This includes the heavens and the millions and the billions of stars, the suns, the planets, the whole solar system with all the celestial beings. This includes the Oretz v'chol ha'shebay, the land and everything that's on it. This includes Hayam v'chol asher bo, the sea and everything that is in it. And even the Adam Atzma, even man himself, the Bechir HaNivroim, who is the greatest of all of the creation,
And even the mind of man, which is the greatest creation found in man, we do not have time to talk about the mind or the intellect or the brain of man, but one statement which is said on it, that there are literally billions of electronic nerves in the brain of man which constantly connect and disconnect and connect and disconnect every second. And they say that, scientists say that there are enough of these which can match AT&T and Bell Telephone, the massive national telephone company of the United States. But with one difference, the brain never makes an error. There is never a misconnection. And this evolved through itself, through the course of chance. Now, for some reason, a great segment of the populace accept this theory, like Glomin. They accept it. And they speak of it as fact, and they write of it as fact, and it's even written in many, many books which are found in primary schools and in high schools and even universities throughout the world, as if this is the fact. This is proven beyond the shadow of a doubt, and so forth. And there could not be a greater contradiction or antithesis from this theory to what the Rambam just explained in the Maral on the existence of the universe and the ratios of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, the truth of the matter is that for those so-called scientists or anthropologists that write this theory and promote this theory, it's not roi la'emrom, it's not befitting for them at all. If children would write such a theory, perhaps you could excuse it on the basis that they're influenced by fairy tales. And I'll tell you why. Because every proposal has to have two elements. It has to have the element of hayesha, rationale, logic. Proposal has to be logical. And it has to have substantiation. And surely a scientific theory must have this. And if we cannot find full substantiation for it, to say it's fact, so it must have at least some substantiation. So let's first take the yosha, the rationale. Anyone can see the total stupidity of the theory, to the point where one scientist wrote, and he said as follows: if we would weigh the power of chance for our world to come through this evolution, it would not be one in a million, it would not be one in a billion, it would not be one in a trillion, it would not even be one in a zillion. This is what he wrote and published, as far as the yosha. If a child would come to you and tell you a proposal, and it's not one in a 10 chances that it should happen, you would tell him to stop speaking such foolishness. He writes, if we would weigh the power of chance, not one in a million, not one in a billion, or a trillion, but not even one in a zillion. So that's as far as the issue. What about as far as the substantiation of it? We are now 120 years since the time of Darwin. Not one conclusive proof, not one conclusive proof has ever been presented to the scientific community. I have spoken personally with professors and scientists of international repute. And these are some of the things they told me. First of all, they said the mainstream scientific community never accepted the theory of evolution. And they themselves do not know how it has been accepted by the populace, unless it's through sheer ignorance or perhaps because of deceit and propaganda. It's A. B. This was what they said till 10 years ago. About 10 years ago, science broke through barriers that brought them into a new world of science. They say now, in accordance to the latest scientific findings, not only is it totally out of step and totally rejected by all of the findings that have been found through quantum physics and other such new findings, but, and I quote, the diehards that still hold on to this theory is as if it is a religious gospel. A religious gospel. It is no longer science, but it is a religious gospel. Something that was, they inherited, and they must hold on to it by tradition, even though it has been totally rejected by all scientific findings. A third statement that one international scientist told me. He says he personally believes without a doubt that Darwin never believed in it. Darwin never believed in it because he says he was too brilliant of a person. But rather he wrote it only as an expression to become liberated from the suppression of the church. Because at that time there was a great war going on between the church and science. And this rather was an expression to become liberated from the suppression of the church. To the point where we can challenge any evolutionist and any anthropologist to bring just one conclusive proof to this theory. Just one. And they've had 120 years to do it. Or they've had more than that. According to them, they've had billions of years to do it. Recently, there was some excitement when it came to this theory here in Africa, South Africa. It was called, quote, a staggering achievement. They discovered the long-lost ape-man fossil in Sterkfontein. I'd like to quote from a letter that appeared in December, this past December. The writer is a Bernard A. Reeves. Was published in The Citizen. According to Dr. Ron Clark, discoverer of the latest Sterkfontein ape-man fossil find, it has been a, quote, staggering achievement to, quote, find the world's first ever entire ape-man skull and its skeleton, which will answer many questions concerning human evolution that continues to mystify scientists. Without begrudging Dr. Clark his moment of glory, may we put this find into context. In his Origin of Species, written by Darwin in 1859, he wrote, Darwin wrote, the numbers of intermediate varieties which have existed, the intermediate variety is as these simple cells evolved into more complicated cells. And from there they went to fish, and from fish they became animals, and then larger animals, and more sophisticated animals, until they finally became people. So that link between the animal and the people, so this is the intermediate species of the human evolution. So Darwin says the numbers of intermediate varieties which existed on Earth for who knows how many millions of years must truly be enormous. So Darwin asked the question, why is not every geological formation full of such intermediate links? They have never found the fossils of these intermediate links. He was questioned by this in 1859. He blamed, quote, this extreme imperfection of the geological record. He said, our records are not that good. In 1979, Professor David Raup, curator of geology at the Field Museum of Chicago, wrote, quote, Darwin was embarrassed by the fossil record. The record of fossils were not up to date, and this is why we do not have records of this intermediate species. Well, this professor wrote, we are now about 120 years after Darwin, and we have a quarter of a million fossil species. But the situation hasn't changed much. We have even fewer examples of evolutionary transition than we had in Darwin's time, because most of those that were claimed to be found, they were later on found to be fraud. This was published in the Field Museum Journal, volume 50, 1579. 3 years ago, a keen evolutionist, Professor Steve Jones of London University, wrote, quote, the evidence for human, and this is written by a professor of evolution, the evidence of human evolution is still extraordinarily weak. There are no more fossils than would cover a decent-sized table. This is after what this. This was printed, the sources here. This writer writes, I have no doubt there'll still be room on that table for Littlefoot, for the fossil that was found in Sturkington, he says, I'm sure they'll find room for it on the table. The staggering news that they called this, incidentally, and our Deputy President Becky made an international announcement about it. The staggering news is that after 140 years of determined searching by armies of geologists, paleontologists, and so forth, to find the hard evidence for evolution, which has yielded billions of fossils have been dug up, with over 100 million in the world's museums. The world's very first complete ape-man fossil has been discovered. This is the staggering news. Perhaps Dr. Clark can tell us what, if evolution be the true explanation for origins, has happened to all the other ape-man transitional fossils. What happened to the other millions? The number of which should be, according to Darwin, be truly enormous. Eminent evolutionary scientist Professor S.G. Gold, Harvard University, this is an evolutionist scientist professor from Harvard, tells us that intermediate fossils between all other living kinds, now we're speaking about the intermediate fossil that would link the animal to the man, but what about the intermediate fossils of the non-human species? He says, are also missing. The extreme rarity of transitional forms in the fossil record persists as the trade secret of paleontology. The evolutionary trees have data only at the tips and nodes of their branches. The rest is inference, not evidence of fossils. This was printed in Natural History, volume 86, 1977. Faced with these hard facts, any reasonable, honest person, not previously prejudiced by evolutionary ideology from education or the media, would surely conclude that the complete absence of an overwhelming preponderance of fossils intermediate between known kinds, except for the few on the table, of the few tableful ones of hotly disputed oddities, shows that the real crucial hard evidence for evolution by blind, mindless, purposeless, unaided chance is simply not there. This is the greatest proof to destroy the theory. It is human pride and disinclination to accept that there is a higher authority to whom we might be accountable, which causes many to shy away from the only other possible explanation for origins, that is, intelligent design and creation of separate kinds by supremely intelligent designer, creator God. Instead of this obsession with dry bones of certainty, if we open our eyes and minds to the overwhelming evidence in living things all around us, of stunningly sophisticated, saggingly and irreducibly complex, ultra-miniaturized, incredibly ingenious, brilliantly successful designs, it would not be hard to accept the second alternative. That the world did not come into being through the process of chance evolution, but rather through a ratios, through a God. Indeed, extremely hard not to. Still, we find that so much of the world insists, and this is what scientists, professors told me, today it's become by the few that are hanging on to it, and unfortunately there's a number of Jews involved also, the few that are hanging on to it, they are holding on to it like a gospel, a religious gospel, even though it's been refuted a million times over. They are giving their lives to find a straw on which to hang it. Why? So heaven forbid they should not have to say that God created the world. That's the reason why. Rosh Mahu Aimer. God Rosh Mahu Aimer. Because heaven forbid if they cannot say this, and there's only one other alternative, and that they'd rather die before admitting that. And this is the kefir be'ikor. And this is why HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, this is the way of the nations of the world, and unfortunately they've taken a few of the Rishoy Yisrael with them. But to Klal Yisrael, he said it was only Avraham. Only it was Avraham. In a whole world of idolatry where he came and proclaimed my rashis. And only his children. Therefore, Kodesh Yisrael rashis tfu osay. You are my rashis. You will proclaim my rashis in the world. And therefore he gave to Klal Yisrael the mitzvah of Kiddush HaBecherim, HaBecheres Kiddush HaBikurim, that our first must be sanctified, because since they came from He who is the righteous of all existence, and that gives, they come from the source of Kiddush, of sanctity, and this is what He gives into the world, then this also must have this element of sanctity. This is the explanation in the mitzvah of the firstborn.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za. Via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.